Now to another surprising discovery, and one that's closer to home, the Great Barrier Reef. It turns out a policy that reduces shipping pollution, which means cleaner air, has also brought with it a new environmental problem. The reef has already suffered through 6 mass bleaching events in the past decade alone, but cleaner air may be making them worse. I know, sometimes it feels like we just can't win. But anyway, this seemingly paradoxical effect was uncovered by Dr. Robert Ryan from the University of Melbourne. We had a chat about the study behind the finding and what atmospheric chemistry research involves.
It's the science of all of the molecules in the air, the molecules that we breathe, molecules that come out of plants, come out of industrial sources, how they mix together, how they create air pollution, how they interact with sunlight, and how they give rise to the air that we breathe and see around us.
And you have a special research interest in the Great Barrier Reef. Before we get into that, have you seen much of it?
I have. I'm lucky enough to have spent a bit of time at the Great Barrier Reef on fieldwork for this project. So I got to spend about 7 weeks there on a beautiful little place called One Tree Island, which is near Heron Island, which is more well known as a tourist resort. And I was lucky enough to spend 7 weeks there studying the clouds and the atmospheric chemistry and all of the particles in the atmosphere that go into making up the science of how radiation, sunlight and air interacts with the Great Barrier Reef.
And how do you study the air above us? I can't imagine it's just you lying on a beach looking up into the beautiful blue sky, as idyllic as it sounds.
The instruments that I predominantly use actually do just get to stare up into the beautiful blue sky. I actually specialise in using sunlight to measure components of the atmosphere. So as the sun comes down through the atmosphere, it is absorbed by different gases and particles and scattered by different things, clouds, particles, droplets. And so I use the spectrum of sunlight as it comes down through the atmosphere from the sun to study what's in the atmosphere. But there's a range of other tools as well. We have instruments that have a little pump that suck the air in and measure inside something like a mass spectrometer. But we also use a lot of computer models as well to study the atmosphere. So something like a weather forecasting model, but as well as weather forecasting, it also includes chemistry. So it solves all of the equations for the chemical reactions that are going on as well as for the weather. And so these are the tools that we use for studying different problems about forecasting and predicting air quality and climate. And then we check all of these models against the observations that we take as well.
What's in the atmosphere above the Great Barrier Reef?
The vast majority of what's in the air above the Great Barrier Reef is exactly the same as what's in the air anywhere, and that's nitrogen and oxygen, but there are these trace components that are really super important. So some of these trace components are also everywhere, like carbon dioxide, so the same greenhouse gas concentrations. But there are also air pollutants that come from sources on land in Queensland. There are air pollutants that come from sources like shipping. There are air pollutants or things that could be air pollutants but are also a natural part of the environment that come from plants. There are even some things emitted from the water itself. So these include gases that come from coral and other marine organisms that interact with things in the air as well. Yeah, there's a whole range of different things, millions and millions of compounds that we can't even quantify, but it's a really interesting mixture. And most interestingly for what I'm looking at the Great Barrier Reef are the particles. So the particles are the things that interact with radiation. They can block some of the sunlight coming in, and they also play a really important role in helping to form clouds and change cloud properties. And those particles can come from air pollution like shipping. They can come from within the reef itself. So some of those gases go on to form particles in the atmosphere. And it can also be from things on shore that could be maybe smoke in Queensland that drifts out over the Great Barrier Reef. And those particles also play a role in blocking sunlight and changing clouds.
Now, you recently had a study which looked specifically at ship pollution. And it had this paradoxical effect of maybe having a benefit for the Great Barrier Reef. We normally think about pollution as being a bad thing. What was that?
Yeah, it's a really interesting paradoxical finding for the study that I've been working on just recently. And it comes back to what I said about aerosols being able to block some of the radiation coming in from the sun. So there has been some pollution from shipping historically that's played what we and other scientists find to be a reasonably significant role in blocking sunlight coming in to the surface of the Earth. So that is both because the particles themselves scatter and block sunlight. And also because the particles go on to help form clouds. And of course, clouds being white are much more reflective than the particles themselves. So aerosol particles, so an aerosol in this case, not just something from a deodorant can, but it's really what scientists term as any kind of particulate matter in the atmosphere. It's kind of like the width of a human hair or slightly smaller than that. These particles in the atmosphere are helping to interact with sunlight. And because they interact with that incoming radiation, the net effect is that they actually cool the surface of the Earth slightly. And so they counteract other warming that's going on in the atmosphere due to greenhouse gas emissions. So the paradoxical finding is that if ship emissions have changed recently to reduce the amount of aerosol, reduce the amount of particulate matter, then that reduction has actually resulted in more sunlight reaching the Great Barrier Reef. So in the year 2020, the International Maritime Organization did make such a change. They said, for the benefit of air pollution, for the benefit of the air that people are breathing, especially people in port cities where there is a lot of ships, they said, we're going to cut a large amount of the aerosol pollution from shipping. So that's a great thing for people's health. It's a really great benefit. But what we've found is that it's allowed more sunlight to come into the Great Barrier Reef, and it's actually had probably a net negative benefit on the Great Barrier Reef, which is already struggling from climate change.
So cleaner air equals hotter corals in some way.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
Rising ocean temperatures are a primary driver of coral bleaching. So how much of an effect does that extra sunlight, that extra radiation have on the ocean and the corals that live in it?
So what we did is we looked at a period in the year 2022 using our atmospheric chemistry model, and we were able to simulate a scenario where we included the ship emissions as they used to be and included the emissions in a separate simulation where the emissions have changed. They've reduced according to the International Maritime Organization regulation. And what we found is that the sea surface temperature increase that has likely occurred as a result of that emission change is going to equate somewhere between 10 and 20% worsening of the bleaching conditions if we were to have the same weather conditions now as when the regulation was not in force prior to the year 2020. So we're talking about a 10 to 20% worsening of bleaching severity on top of what is already going on with increasing frequency of marine heat waves and increasing global atmospheric and ocean temperatures.
Is there a way to emulate the sunscreen effects of particulates in the atmosphere without harming human health or putting other nasties in the atmosphere?
We'd definitely love to find a way to do that. But before we even think about that, the first thing that I really want to say is that this is an indicator of how much trouble the Great Barrier Reef is in, because even if we're implementing an air pollution benefit regulation, we are having most likely this negative consequence. And so before going to Band-Aid solutions, we really need to look at the net effect and reduce greenhouse gas emissions, because the rising greenhouse gas emissions, which are causing the rise in global temperatures in the ocean and the atmosphere, are what is primarily driving coral bleaching. The effect that we have found, that extra 10 or 20%, is problematic, but it's paling into insignificance compared to the real challenge facing the Great Barrier Reef. Our finding is a message that we need to be extra urgent about reducing greenhouse gas emissions. However, in the meantime, maybe due to the fact that greenhouse gases are in the atmosphere for hundreds of years, especially carbon dioxide, maybe the fact that policy updates will take a really long time to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, scientists are also looking at potential measures to help mitigate some of the worst effects of climate change, to maybe act a little bit like that sunscreen that you talked about. So one of those possible things is an intervention that's being studied called marine cloud brightening. And this is an area of research where we would look to use a natural component of the atmosphere. In this case, it would be spraying seawater into the air so that the little tiny salt crystals in the seawater can act in a similar way to the ship pollution that was regulated. And it can go on to block some of the sunlight and change the clouds in a way that uses, instead of the air pollution, sulfur coming from the ships, instead sea salt that's a natural component of the atmosphere. So that's one thing that's being looked at the moment through the Reef Restoration and Adaptation Program, which is underway. And a big part of my research is making sure that if that was to be implemented, that we do all the necessary safety checks and we look at all of the potential downstream impacts and just make sure for certain that that's not going to have the same kind of air pollution impact as the ship emissions that were regulated away.
Yeah, what would some of the downsides be, or some of the downstream effects? I mean, if you're spraying salt into the atmosphere, could that fall as rain on land and I don't know, damage agricultural areas?
That's all of the stuff that we're checking. Yeah, so we want to check that there's no downstream impacts over coastal or land areas from spraying extra salt. We don't believe that the proposed salt emissions are going to outweigh the natural salt emissions in any significant way, but we need to make absolutely sure that that's not going to be the case. We need to make absolutely sure that there'll be no impact on clouds, the air that people breathe, and any other air pollution or atmospheric chemistry effect. We don't believe that that will be the case, but we're doing all the due diligence to make sure.
Does this work mean that you get to spend another 7 weeks on the Great Barrier Reef?
I would, of course, love to spend more time at the Great Barrier Reef. It's just such a beautiful place. Yeah, the corals and the water are so mesmerising. I'm really lucky to be able to go with an atmospheric chemist and to have experienced a world that people in my field of science often don't get to see. So I'd love to go back, of course. Who knows? We'll see. Hopefully the future has another trip out there in store for me.
Dr. Robert Ryan, an atmospheric chemist at the University of Melbourne. His study was published in the journal Communications, Earth and Environment.